James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whomever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whomever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, Wayne, for sharing that this morning. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for these words that you've given us, and we thank you also for how they speak new life and grace. Keep us open to your touch upon us. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. You may have found yourself in this predicament, if you will, when someone comes up to you and says, "Can you do me a favor?" Depending upon the person who's asking, depending upon the circumstance, depending upon your state of mind, you can have a lot of different emotions and feelings about that one question. Can you do me a favor? Depends on what it is. In the scripture passage today, there are two brothers who offer that very question. They frame it in a different way, certainly. But they're offering that question to Jesus. Can you do me a favor? Now, when we ask a friend, a family member, if they can do us a favor, if they can pick up something from the store, if they can give us a ride, if they can lend us $10,000, if they can whatever, just small things. That's one thing. But when we are making deals with God, that's another thing altogether. Lord, if you do this, then I will. For us, that's not really an option. Rather, the only option is to listen, is to humble ourselves before God, is to simply say, "Thy will be done. Thy kingdom." It's about your kingdom, God, not my plan, not my agenda. We can't really blame the brothers, can we? We really can't. Many of us have been sons or daughters of Zebedee also. In our lives, wanting to make deals with God or wanting to say to Jesus, boy, if you would just do this for me, then everything would be okay, or I would do this, or maybe there's even a darker motive. Because in this situation, they wanted to get closer. They wanted to be in positions of power, on the right and left side of Jesus. And yet, hear what he has said right before this interaction with the brothers. Hear what Jesus says. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. Jesus has just shared this with them. And so what do they ask? JC, pick me. We want to be on your right and left side. It's almost comical in a way that they would ask this, having heard this third pronouncement of his death. This is the third time in Mark that Jesus has shared this, has taught this, has been very clear with them. Mark is one of those passages, one of those scriptures, one of those books that is right to the point. Out of all the Gospels, in fact, I would say Mark is most to the point, does not mince words. And so in Mark, it is exceptionally clear that Jesus is saying, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be humiliated. I'm going to be killed. I will rise again. But before that, all of those challenges will take place. The brothers, they don't hear any of that. They're simply interested in what they want, in glorifying themselves. Donald Michelbaum, who's a psychiatrist, tells the story of his car being hit by lightning. This is in reference to being self-centered. His teenage son, he was surprised, didn't respond with empathy at all. Whenever he got home and Donald was okay and he wasn't injured, the car was pretty damaged. The response of the teenage son was this: hey, Dad, let's go buy a lottery ticket. They say the chances of being hit by lightning are the same as the chances of winning the lottery. Yeah! Not a lot of empathy there. And yet, each of us, at one time or another, or I think this is part of the human condition, part of our sinfulness, struggles with self-centeredness, struggles with it wanting to be about us, struggles with wanting to be in a position of power or accumulation. For us, the good news is this, is that we don't need to be wasting our energy on that anymore. We don't need to be expending anything on trying to accumulate or trying to get in a position of power or one-upmanship or climbing the ladder. Rather, because we have a saving relationship with God through Christ, and because of God's grace and love in our lives, and because of the working of the Holy Spirit, it's no longer about having to pour ourselves into building ourselves up because God has already built us up. Do you understand that? God has already built us up in the most intimate way, in the most powerful way, through a saving relationship with Him, through the one who was crucified, who was beaten, who was killed, but also who rose again. When we realize it's not about us, it's about God, my God, there's some freedom in that. Jesus says, continues in his teaching, are you ready to really drink of the cup that I'm going to be drinking of? Are you really ready to be through the baptism that I'm going to be going through? In Scripture, the cup can be a cup of sorrow. It can be a cup of overflowing blessing. In Scripture, the baptism can be one of renewed life, and it also through the beheading of John the Baptist, can predict the crucifixion of Christ as well. So there's dual meanings in both of those. But in this situation, I believe we can look at those things that Jesus is saying and say that he's pointing to the challenges that lay ahead. The brothers didn't understand it completely, and that's okay. That's fine. We don't always understand God's plan either. But they said, yes, we can do this. And for us, I think God expects nothing less. Today, this very day, for us to say, although we don't understand exactly what's going to happen in the future, we're no longer going to try to make a deal with you, God. It's no longer going to be about our plan, but rather, it's going to be about you. Not about us, about God. Now, does that mean that we're called to be a doormat? Of course not. Humility is not humiliation. Humility is rather pausing for a moment to pray and to think about what God's plan is rather than just jumping in and doing something and then dealing with the consequences. Have you ever dealt with someone who just seemed to be running around like a chicken with their head cut off all the time? Not really having any sort of direction. Not really having any sort of focus. God has given us the gift of prayer, in other words, intimacy with him, to be able to stop and do that first and to sense how he is guiding. Now, it may not always be clear, because in my conversations, in my dialogue and that I've had the privilege of having with so many of you and so many brothers and sisters in Christ through the years, one of the truths is that prayer is an ongoing thing. And whenever I'm talking to that person, it's about continually being in prayer. And not that we pray one time and then we get the answer and yes, the light bulb goes on and everything's clear, but rather praying and praying and continually humbling ourselves in prayer so that it does start becoming clear. And then we're able to start sensing the path that God would have us go because we are truly open and vulnerable to his teaching, his word, his love in our lives. Enthusiasm and excitement are essential for ministry and building God's kingdom as well, and stepping forward with energy, with great energy is great, but that it is directed by God is what is essential. You see, the hope of these words is that we no longer have to be fearful. We no longer have to be fear-motivated. Because behind those brothers wanting to be closer to Jesus, wanting to be in a position of authority, wanting to be his right and left-hand man, was a fear that they were going to be left behind, that they were going to be in a secondary place, that they were not going to be as great. And for us, we don't have to worry about that anymore because of what has happened on that cross. We don't have to worry about our position anymore because of what God has done through Christ on that cross. That is the joy. That is the release today. That is the celebration of God's grace at work in this very place, at work in your life at this very moment. And it's not happening just because you're sitting here in church, just because you're listening to a sermon. It's happening because you're God's people. And you belong to Him. You don't have to say, hey, Lord, I want to be closer to You. You're already intimately involved with God. Hey, Lord, I want to be on Your right hand or on Your left hand. I want to be right there in a position of power. God has said, You already have all the power that You need because I have placed the power of Christ, the resurrection, in you, in your heart. Hey, God, will You do something for me? Will You do me a favor? And God says back to us, I've already done the greatest thing for you the world has ever seen. I've given you eternal life, the power of resurrection here and now, through Christ resurrected, and through My Holy Spirit in you. In our time of discipleship this morning, I'd like us to be thinking about what God has already done for us, what God has already offered to us. And I'd like us to also take a few moments right now as we hear the music to realize that we're forgiven and to realize that any of the selfishness that we might still be carrying in us or our own plans, we can lay those before God right now. If you'd like to close your eyes, if you'd like to open your hands to receive God's blessing, however you feel comfortable. In this time of discipleship, know that God is moving in you, is filling you, loves you. Receive that blessing.